everyone. I'm Lakshmi Hanspal, and I have Laura Payne with me. Laura is Director of Security Services in Bank of Montreal. And today we're going to talk about the cloud and the imperative of using the cloud securely. Laura, part of Bank of Montreal, Bank of Montreal has been one of the first to provide ATM services to the Canadian population, a fully comprehensive online portal as well, and now an adopter of cloud. Laura, why public cloud and why now?
Well, thanks, Lakshmi. Public cloud is really, it's a great platform to be able to extend a footprint and to start taking advantage of some new features that people are coming up with all the time. So that's really what has driven the bank to look in that direction. It also gives us some opportunities to explore and play with things in a much quicker time frame than if we have to build everything ourselves. So we can reuse components that others have built, bring those into our environment, try them out, play with them, and then make decisions based on that.
So cost management, reuse, as well as delivery to your customers in a framework that you desire that would maintain compliance and regulatory obligations.
Yeah, and it all depends on the context of cloud that we're talking about as well. So when we talk about public cloud, if we're talking in the terms of infrastructure as a service and platforms as a service, really making sure that we understand what those features are that are fit for the uses that we're looking at, making sure that we're not just lifting and shifting kind of old IT concepts that are really better suited to, dedicated hardware and so on, but really taking advantage of the way it's architected. And there's a lot of reasons for that, not the least of which is the cost implication, right? If you lift and shift, you're actually not very efficient from a cost perspective moving to cloud. But certainly if the point is to take advantage of, new services that are being offered, you're really not doing yourself any favors by not understanding what's available to you.
So then how does this model help you do what you do today and what you couldn't do yesterday? Give us some examples of mm-hmm. how this has empowered your environment.
So what I see a lot of right now is kind of our earlier projects are places where we're working with our vendor partners and they're already in the public cloud. And so by us being there as well, it means we can take advantage of common services and location that then means that we're working efficiently with our vendor partners. So that's probably some of our main first use cases. And then also, as we look at what the technology architecture it offers us, so things like running serverless and Lambda functions and AWS as one example, that's not something that we are prepared at this time to be able to offer anything comparable in our internal services. So that's another real reason to be adopting.
So so establishing a secure ecosystem with your vendors mm-hmm. as well as Lambda's also pay-per use or pay just as much as you use. So it's almost on demand where you're expanding or contracting the services within the cloud. That's great.
Yeah.
So you and I have had an interesting journey to where we are today. I'm sure we have each of our stories and hurdles we needed to overcome to where we are. So Laura, how are we using our experience to build the next generation of leaders and especially empowering women today? I can think about, I have a daughter who's 10. I can think about, when I go to schools, elementary, middle, or high, to talk about cybersecurity, what does it mean? Just them staying safe on the internet is a start. And then that gets them thinking, okay, if I'm staying safe, are there others? And how can they help, the entire ecosystem to stay safe?
Yeah. For me, it's through a lot of small things that I do. And I look at security as just one kind of component of a number of things that that I do and that I am, but it's certainly present. So I work with youth in a couple of different youth organizations, and so when I have opportunities to do STEM activities with them, you know, I always want to try to bring a little bit of security to that and really make it feel like, you know, both that it's important, but it's not scary, right? It's just being conscious the same way we want to teach kids to be safe, you know, crossing the street or, you know, learning how to just be part of their neighborhood in a safe way. We want to treat them or teach them how to be part of their internet neighborhood in a safe way as well. And then I also look at the STEM activities as a great opportunity to get people thinking about technology and solutions, not just as a, oh, that's kind of a neat thing, or it's, you know, I like playing games on my iPad, but these are great tools and I can solve problems and I can help people. And I think that makes it more relatable. So people are, that's what gets people inspired. There are some people who just like tinkering, and for them, you don't need to inspire them to like technology. They're already there. But for people who aren't, you know, necessarily thinking about that, making the technology feel like part of a solution and helping people, I think, really helps engage.
So gamification, I think, works with kids mm-hmm. as well. But I think you also said something important. Show them the target state. Show them how the picture would look, and then help them understand to take steps towards that the target state as well.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, I was chatting with one of the other folks here today, and you know, she said that she was talking to this high school girl who has done some really amazing things with technology, but when you know asked, well, how did you get interest in technology? She said, oh, I'm not doing technology things. You know, she's doing all these other things. It just happens that she's levering technology to do it. And I thought that was a really interesting insight that we have to get people beyond thinking about it as like, you know, this IT geeky thing where you're not really, you know, doing things, to like, there's amazing things you can do. And computers and IT and security is just there to kind of help you.
No, I fully understand. I think they don't see it the way as technology. They're like, you know, I'm helping a nonprofit. I'm helping, mm-hmm. you know, my bake sale become, you know, help this particular, you know, dog shelter or some or animal shelter or something. So that's the way they see it, and more like a shared purpose or a sense of purpose. And then technology is an enabling factor for mm-hmm. them.
And that it's achievable. It's not, you know, the barriers aren't there to entry anymore. You know, you can use code from so many different places, services from different places. You don't have to even get to code anymore to be able to bring these building blocks together. And then, you know, where the security piece comes in is making sure that we're using services that we trust, right?
So that's right.
Being a savvy consumer of services is that next step.
And it's a journey.
Yeah.
And we're on it, and we'll continue to be on it. Thank you, Laura, for joining me today. Appreciate your insight and taking the time for this podcast.
Great. Thanks, Lakshmi.